All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, August 13th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a 9-game MLB main slate set to start later today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's jump in here, get SaberSim pulled up. We do have a few questions that came in the Discord ahead of time to get us rolling today. If anybody has any questions, now is always a good time to get those in the queue. So let me get this loaded up here and let's jump in. So first question, hi Andrew, what is the best way to use contest sims for Yahoo? Is there a way to save them since all the contests, no matter the sport, are the same? So unfortunately, you are going to have to go in and create contest sims each and every day. You know, we don't talk about Yahoo too much here. I'm happy to do like a sport demo here. You know, we usually do these demos regularly, at least like once a show, building some lineups for the day here. So I'm not sure exactly what Yahoo's running. I see, you know, slate sizes different than DraftKings. See 15 game, 6-game, 4-game. I'm assuming this 15 game is like their main slate where they're just putting all of the games on the slate on their, you know, primary slate with the biggest prizes and things like that. But let's see if you come into the contest tab. So there's going to be no contest data, right? We only have the contest data for DraftKings, and then we have it for FanDuel as well. So when you use contest sims with Yahoo, you are going to have to go into the settings and manually create the contest sims. So you would come in here and then I would say, hey, you know, my contest has, you know, 2000 entries. The way I calculate percent to first is I take the first place prize, say it's $1,000 to first. And let's say the entire prize pool is $10,000, which the contest should have that information listed. So I would do 1,000 divided by 10,000. That gets me to 10%. And then let's say that, you know, 2,500 entries get paid out of 10,000 entries in the contest, right? So percent entries paid is the last paid position divided by the total entries in the contest. So this is, you know, $1 single entry. There's, you know, 2,500 positions get paid. There's 10,000 people. Well, then this would be 25%, right? And then as far as field lineups go, there is only going to be one set of field lineups for Yahoo. So I would just leave that selected, click save. And then now you are ready to use your contest sims for Yahoo. And everything else beyond this point is absolutely the same. So when you are running your contest sim, when you are sorting your contest sim, when you are, you know, using risk adjusted ROI, all of those same principles still apply here. Seems like the only major difference is setting up the contest sims, doing some of the math, the field lineup options, but everything else beyond that is going to be feel very familiar to using contest sims on other sites. All right. Next question. Had a question about the pre and post contest sim ROI. If I go for highest ROI in pre-contest sim, my average projected score is low unless I set a minimum, which makes sense since a low projected lineup going off would give me the best ROI. But checking flashback for post-contest sim ROIs, the highest ROI players usually are playing chalky stacks with higher average projected lineups. So should I be playing chalkier to increase my post-contest sim ROI? Okay, good question here. So, you know, I remember a conversation that, or it wasn't a, it was the interview that Andy did with Elusive Smoke when he won the Millie Maker in NFL. If you guys haven't watched that, it's on our Millie Maker series on our YouTube channel where, you know, we did all the interviews with the Millie Maker winners. So like, let's go back to yesterday, right? I think this is probably a good example. So if we go back to yesterday, you know, we go back to literally any contest here, right? Let's do the $5, 150 max. So, you know, yesterday was super interesting, right? Lowest team total on the slate, Chicago White Sox put up like 11 or 12 runs. Arizona didn't really do much. It was a very like kind of upside down slate, right? So let's come in here and let's just sort for the White Sox, right? I'm going to look at their batters and I want to add a column for order. All right. So the actual ownerships of the Chicago White Sox, 4%, 4%, 5%, 1%, 2%, 2%, 0.5, 0.4, 1%, right? And I'm just using the whole numbers here. They could be rounded up possibly. So, you know, this is something that Spencer talked about in that interview that I remember very distinctly, where he's like, you know, if a team is going to be, you know, to have a good day, right? You don't need 50% of a 2% owned team to have a good day. You can have, you know, just as well of a good day by stacking 20%, by stacking 15%, 10%, because you're still, you know, very, very well over the field. Like at 2%, you know, if you have 10%, that's 5x the field, right? So he talks about, you know, just because there is an angle, you know, maybe a team is low owned, doesn't mean you need to go all in on them. And it's just about managing risk. So, you know, kind of going back to the question here, right? You know, you're going for the highest ROI lineups. These are usually a little bit lower projected, you know, probably playing some teams with lower team totals, like where in case they go off, you know, you have a very, you know, clear and obvious path to first place with the teams being so low owned, right? I think that it's possible that you might be assuming too much exposure to those low ROI teams, driving your projected score too far down, where you can play them, but managing how much you're playing them shouldn't have an effect on your overall, like you shouldn't be one of like the lowest projected score sets, right? You could definitely work in, you know, 10% White Sox, still play all the other, you know, quote unquote, like good teams on the slate and still end up with a decently projected set of lineups. So I think the biggest thing here is like not going too far over the deep end with hammering lower projected teams or like lower owned teams or like lower team total teams and like finding a good balance. You know, I think that's the more interesting part. I think what Contest Flashback shows is that, hey, you don't need to get so different in order to win. Usually you just need to get a little bit different, right? In classic MLB slates, dupes are going to be low. So, you know, average dupes is like almost always zero. You might see some dupes like a little bit random, but average dupes is usually zero. So, you know, you don't always need to go so far off the reservation to get to winning lineups, right? So I think that's like one of the biggest takeaways for me is that, you know, even looking at like this top lineup, you know, this lineup that ended up winning, it's like kind of interesting here. You see like assuming chalk pitching, playing a couple chalk bats, Judge, Otani, but then playing this like low correlated five stack of the White Sox. And, you know, similar Y-wise, it didn't grade out well. But like I could kind of make sense of this lineup, right? And, you know, I don't know how much this player played of this team or what it is. You know, I don't want to go too far off on a tangent here, but I think it's just about finding a good balance, right? So, you know, from our contest flashback, yeah, it does seem like playing projected score, higher projected score lineups is actually good over 100K sim sample size. So, you know, the too long didn't read version of everything kind of bringing it all home. It's like, yeah, I actually do think that's a good thing because we've been seeing that. And like, that is advice that I have been giving people. So I'm going to stick with that because that is what we are seeing over and over, but I think it is okay, you know, to play some of these lower owned teams, lower projected teams, just be careful with the rate that you play them. All right. Next question here. Besides just going off raw projections, is there an effective way to use Saber Sim for MLB tiers? Good question here. So we don't have like full tiers support here, but I did post some comments with like some ideas here. So projection, very, very good to look at. But also, you know, remember about correlation. You know, you're going to see different tier options. You know, sometimes you're going to see it with two players on the same team. Sometimes you're going to see, you know, players across different teams. Sometimes you'll see mini game stacks. Like, I think people forget about correlation in tiers. And, you know, always remember that, you know, these players are correlated to you, to each other when they are playing in the same game or even have anti-correlation. Just don't forget about that when deciding what tiers lineups to play. All right. Good stuff there. Let's jump back to Yahoo here for today. And I'm not seeing any more questions here at the moment. So let's just do a little bit of a build demo for Yahoo, talking about how I go about this. So we already have our contest sim set up here. Yahoo, you do not need to make two adjustments, two projections to unlock the build lineups button. That is only a DraftKings rule. Going to turn on this don't use batters against opposing pitchers default rule here. You know, let's say I'm playing a, you know, I'm playing a 20 max, right? I think it's fine. Or even say I'm playing a 3 max, right? Probably a little bit smaller. So I think this is fine. Default settings are good. I'm only going to do 500 lineups to save a little bit of time. But let's kick this off. Going to move some columns around while we wait. All right, build is just about done. 500 lineups loading now. And going to kick off my contest sim right out of the gate, right? Let's see it sort of by exposure. So one interesting thing about Yahoo, right, is you can stack six players from a team. So we see, you know, first lineup is a six stack of the Phillies. All right, contest sim is finished. Let's go and change our sorting metric to Saber Sim ownership risk-adjusted ROI. Let's add in a filter here. Show me lineups with ROI from the contest sim greater than zero. Trash is about 99 lineups here. Looks good. Show me average ROI. Okay, good. We got average projection, average ROI. One other thing we can do here, right? So we've been talking about like this projection filter. I actually like to turn the ROI filter off. I like to do the projection one first in case they overlap. So projected score greater than, let's make up a number, 95 maybe. Okay, that gets rid of 27. Let's try 97. So that gets rid of about 10% of our lineups, right? I think that's good. The reason I like to do this one first is because I know for a fact I want to get rid of all the negative ROI lineups. But I know that I only want to get rid of about like the bottom 10 to 20% of lowest projected lineups, right? So it's a little bit of a balance, right? Like, hey, let's do the projection. Let's see the effect that it has by checking how many lineups go into the trash here. And then let's add in the ROI last because I know that one is one that I'm going to want to use no matter how many lineups it moves to the trash, right? So now I do the ROI greater than zero. Now there's 120 lineups. So it added another 21 lineups to the trash, but there were 24 lineups that overlapped between the two. So doing the projection filter first allows me to see the impact that it has before doing the ROI filter second. And then I'm comfortable with where I'm at with both filters. All right. So let's change my lineups to three. And now what I want to do is just start increasing my mini niche, right? So projection, average projections at like 107.8, average ROI is about 97%. So let's go up to five, see what five does. And we are just waiting for this calculation to go through, I believe. One, two, three, four, seven. One, two, three, five, eight. Maybe it's good. I think it looks like the top three lineups all have at least five players different. So let's go up higher. Let's go to seven. Okay, seven, there was a small change, right? Average projection went from 107.8 down to 106.4. So a 1.4% change. Average ROI actually went up. So this is one of those interesting cases where the risk-adjusted ROI for a lineup was different than the ROI for a lineup, right? So now we're playing lineups 1, 2, and 5. Well, the average ROI for 1, 2, and 5 was higher for these three lineups, but the risk-adjusted ROI was higher for lineups 3 and 4. So a little bit, not something you see every day here, but I'm assuming these are all like really, really close. So even 7 million each, right? Lost like a 1.4% projection, keep an ROI that's pretty high. I'm okay with that, right? Maybe we go to 8. And it looks like these lineups meet this criteria as well. So right now, the only player we're sharing across all three lineups is Nestor Cortez, Charlie Morton in two out of the three, so our pitchers. And then we have no batter used in more than one lineup. So all of our batters are super spread out using different teams in all three stacks. You know, I think this is fine, right? You could do 8. You could go back to 6 where it was like 107.8 projection. You know, if you want to keep that extra 1.4%, I think this is good though. So this is like a little bit more of a spread out option where you take this, you know, mini unique of 8, these very, very different lineups using no more than one batter in every lineup, or you go to 6, right? Where, you know, maybe you're not using Nestor in all of the lineups, but we have a little bit more exposure to batters, right? Semien, Wells, Seager, Leody Taveras, Josh Smith, all batters used in two out of the three lineups. Nestor in two out of the three. Charlie Morton in two out of the three. So mini innings of 6, fine. Mini innings of 8, also fine. Kind of preference at this point. If it was me, I'd probably go to 8 because when I'm only building three lineups here, I'm happy to get good question here from Kuba said, Cortez has 100% exposure, but pull has him at 30%. Should you change the exposure or keep as is? Good question here. So basically what he's saying is like, hey, you know, if you look at Nestor Cortez, you know, his ownership is about 41%, 42%. He's only in about 30% of your pool lineups, but Saberson seems to really like him in these top lineups, jamming him in to all three lineups. You know, what do I think about that? And I think it's a good observation. I think that if you see that and it makes you nervous, drop it down. You know, if you come in here, I'm like, I don't really love that. You know, I'd rather play Charlie Morton, who's in twice as many pool lineups as he is owned, right? Like I'd rather have 100% Morton rather than Nestor. Like it is totally okay to say, okay, hey, I'm going to come in here. You know, maybe I don't want Nestor in two lineups. Maybe I only want him in one. You know, I want to be a little bit more careful with him, right? So, okay, you come in, you set that one max exposure, and then, you know, you let the builder figure out the rest, right? Now, when I go and look at pitchers, okay, Morton is in two lineups, and then we have no pitcher in more than one. And these all look like good pitchers, right? Kikuchi, Skubal, King, you know, and you're getting a little bit more spread out. That's totally okay, right? There's plenty of lineup. We're seeing rank 1, rank 7, and rank 12 for our lineups. Still staying in, you know, very, very much the top of our pool here. Projection still looks good. Average ROI looks good. So I think that's okay, right? Kind of a personal call, but it's okay if you want to do that. John said, if running the mini and the moonshot, how would you build? Would you set the mini as the starred sim? Okay, so let's jump back to DraftKings. So the mini max is 150 max. The moonshot is a $3.20 max. I would build them together because we always talk about building your 20 and 150 max contest together, mostly because the sliders are going to be super similar. So 20 max, 10 to 50K entries, 9-8 sliders. 150 max, 10 to 50K entries, sliders go up to 9-9, right? So I would set the sliders up for the bigger contest. So I would do the 150 max, but the sliders are 9-9. And then as far as my sims go, so it doesn't matter which contest sim is starred. So if I come in here, set up the mini max, go down and set up the moonshot. So if I go back to my build and I go, what the star means is that when we are in the post build and we go to the sorting metrics, right? So let's go do that. And we're just going to run a few lineups because we really don't need that many to do this. So just letting these lineups run real quick. All right, 5 lineups is all we need. So going back, what the star represents is that when I come into my sorting metrics, I go down to add metric, and I go to create a custom metric, and I go in this list, and I scroll down to the bottom. You have the ability to add variables such as ROI, risk-adjusted ROI, win rate, cash rate, ROI, standard deviation, and dupes, all the contest sim metrics, to your custom metric here. Well, you have multiple contest sims, but you only have one option for each of these. This is where the star comes in. The star basically tells SaberSim which ROI from which contest sim you want to use in your custom metric. It doesn't have an effect on these contest sims running in the first place. So, for instance, I could run both of them here right now. And then once they are done running here, I'm going to see in the list I have both contest sims. So what I would do is I would run them together. I would set the number in my lineups to the first contest that I want to do here. Maybe it's the 20 max because the prize pool is bigger. So I would set my lineups to 20. I would change my sorting metric to the 20 max. I would go in, find the 20 lineups I want. I would save them to my contest. And then I would trash these 20 lineups. I would change my lineups to 150, the second contest now, if I'm maxing it out, go and switch to that contest's contest sim, use risk-adjusted ROI, find the 150 I want, and then save those to my set. So that's the process that I would follow. It's not going to matter which one is starred unless you're using a contest sim. You'll still have both in the available list here. All right, another question with late swap. Would you do each contest separately or together? Thanks. So you can do them the exact same way. So you can late swap all of your lineups together. What you would do is when you go to save them, you would only save one contest at a time. So basically what you would do is run the contest sim, go to, you know, in late swap, we recommend using ROI. So use ROI for the minimax, go to save it, uncheck the other contests, only leave the minimax checked, save the lineups, come back here, change the sorting metric to the next contest ROI, go to save, only select the moonshot, save those, and then continue on. So you can late swap them all together, but as long as you are filling and sorting them appropriately, you can save them one at a time and get the right contest sim to be used when you save it as a late swap lineup. But very good clarification question. All right. So that is all the questions that we had in the Discord and the YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We do have our build review show going live in about 30 minutes here. We do have 4 people on the list already for today, so it should be a fun show. So until the build review show, I will talk to you all then. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.